When we come to the beginning of September, things begin to start up again. The break enjoyed in the summer months has come to an end. The normal routine has to be taken up, back to porridge, as we say. School, church as well, and on the roads, everything's getting back to the way it was before. So in a way, we're taking a fresh look at things which have been very familiar to us and which we've had a little break from over a couple of months. We're taking up these familiar things and looking at them and starting them up again. And that's what we'd like to do this morning. Take up a familiar and yet a vital command that is given to us by the Lord Jesus, a command recorded in John 13, 34 and 35. Let's read these verses. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Let's notice when our Lord gave this command. Jesus is with his 11 disciples because Judas, the one who was to betray him, has left the company never to return. And Jesus is now giving his final teaching to these men whom he's called to follow him and to preach his word. The teaching continues from chapter 13 right through to chapter 16. And then we have the record of our Lord's prayer. And then he with his disciples leaves that room. And not long after leaving the room, Jesus was arrested and led to the cross. And so as he is teaching his disciples here, the shadow of the cross is already falling across the room. The very first subject that he takes up as he teaches them is love. How essential it must be. How crucial to the life of the church, to the people of God. A new command I give you, love one another. Let's look then and see, first of all, that this love is a new commandment. A new command I give you, that you love one another. Now, immediately we read that, we are faced with a kind of puzzle. Because this is not the first time in the Bible that the command to love one another has been given. Back in the Old Testament, right at the beginning, in the book of Leviticus, God's word comes to his people and says, "You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." The covenant Lord commands his people to love one another, and to love those around them. Never in their dealings with one another to be anything less than loving. No bearing of grudges, no violent actions. And so right at the beginning of the Old Testament, this command to love is given. And that's our puzzle, isn't it? If it is so old, what is the meaning of our Lord's words when he says, "A new commandment I give you"? Is it that the commandment looks new? That it sounds new? Even though it was given thousands of years before. There are some things, as you know, which, although they're not actually knew the Luke knew. Whenever I was working on this passage during the week, I lifted down from my shelf one of my commentaries. It's written by John Calvin. And I'd forgotten something about it. I'd forgotten about the time I bought it. And as I was opening it up to get to the appropriate page, I opened right at the very beginning to the fly leaf. And the price was there. This tells how long ago I bought it. The price of this volume was £2.25. But the bookseller had written in it another price, £1.60. And above that he had written, as new. Somebody had owned it before, used it before, but it looked brand new. You couldn't have told if it wasn't a new book. As new. Is that what this command is? That it's as good as new? That it looks like new? That it's been used before, but it's new now? Well, actually, it's more than that. It's even more than that. Our Lord is saying, this command is always fresh. It's like the new grass that has just sprung up. This command to love one another is never worn out. It never shows any signs of wear and tear. It is never out of date. Every time you look at it or hear it, it is new. They say that if you keep something long enough, it will come back into fashion again. Maybe my little bag will come back into fashion again. If you keep it long enough, you may find out that it is in fact the next new thing. But this command has never gone out of date and never will. It's like God's mercy, new every morning. So I lifted down Calvin's commentary and I opened it up, and he says in it, it's as if our Lord is saying, I want you to remember this command, as if it was a law just recently made. As if it was made this morning. Never let it slip out of your mind. It's new. And how important that is. We can easily let this wonderful truth slip out of our minds. We can allow it to become old in our thinking. And I think that happens when we become wrapped up in ourselves. Wrapped up in our own concerns. And yes, they're real concerns and they're pressing concerns and they're urgent. But they can dominate us so much that we forget that we are to love one another. Our focus is so fixed on ourselves and our immediate problems and issues that our brothers and sisters are out of focus. And we don't notice what's going on in their lives. We forget to pray for them. We fail to keep in contact with them. We don't act in love towards them. Maybe that's what we need to remember. But maybe also we can neglect this command because we have a vague notion of what Christian love is. So vague that we assume that we are in fact loving. After all, as far as I know, I'm not quarreling with anybody. As far as I know, I haven't fallen out with anybody at church. All is quiet on the Western Front. And we assume that we are practicing love. But maybe not. You see, the practice of Christian love, our Lord says, is thoughtful and deliberate and decided. It's obedience to his word, We think about loving one another. We commit ourselves to love one another. We say, this is how I want to behave towards my brethren. We pray for the grace to enable us to do that. We do not simply drift into a situation where we somehow or other become kind of loving. A new commandment. Years later, John wrote a letter and said in it, this is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Don't, my dear friends, ever, ever forget that command that was given and is still sounding out. Love one another. Christian love is a new commandment. Secondly, Christian love has an unmistakable definition. Love one another. What does that mean? You see, the word love is used, as you know, indiscriminately today. So much so that it has become almost meaningless. It's represented by a little heart shape, which people wear on their t-shirts or their baseball caps. I, heart shape, NY. I love New York. Last week I passed a car sitting at the side of the road and it had a little sticker on the window and it said, I, heart shape, Jasper. And then there's a picture of a dog. So the owner of the car loves his dog called Jasper. What does that mean? What does it mean I love New York? You see, it has become almost meaningless. What is the definition of love? When the Lord Jesus gives his command to us to love one another, he also gives the meaning. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. You must love one another. The meaning is found in him. In his words, his person, his work. We have before us in him the perfect example of what love is. How does he love us? It's genuine. Heart-rooted, deep-seated. It's constant. His love never changes. It is costly. As I have loved you. But of course we immediately hesitate. And we say, can I really love like that? And in the deepest sense, we cannot. Because our love can't be infinite as Christ's is. And yet the definition is clear and unmistakable. That you love one another as I have loved you. This is the standard. And this is the pattern. And we cannot ever say it's impossible, so something less will be sufficient. Love is the deliberate, kindly pursuit of the highest good of another person, no matter what the cost. In his love for us, the Lord Jesus Christ pursues our highest good, eternal life and glorious salvation. And he does that at the greatest cost of his life. So let's consider what it means for us to love one another as he loves us. Now, Christians, of course, are to love all men, our neighbour, who is everyone as ourselves. But the command here is very specific, love one another. Jesus is speaking to this group of disciples, these men who are related to one another because of their faith in him. The special family bond exists. We are to love those who are members with us of his body, those who are born again by his Spirit, those who know God as their heavenly Father. And loving one another will be costly. It will cost time. It will cost energy. It is emotionally draining at times. It will cost our homes, because the door will always be open. It may cost financially. Love, to love one another is costly. And to love one another is constant. Was there ever a time, ever a moment when Jesus did not love his people? His love is constant. And that's what ours is to be like. Not limited to some season. Not just for some time of the day. Not for occasional periods in every year. Not when you feel like it. Not when everything is fine with me. Even if it's not. Love one another. Not when I'm really organized. Even when I'm not organized. Not when I've some free time and I'm wondering what to do with it. Even when I'm really busy. It is constant. Love one another as I have loved you. Loving one another must not only be costly and constant, it must be genuine from the heart. There are to be no ulterior motives, no legalistic spirit. This is not just for appearance sake. This is not just in the hope that we will receive something back again. This is genuine. And Christian love is always practiced alongside the holiness of God. I like the sentence of Francis Schaeffer. He says, "So often people think that Christianity is soft, a kind of gooey love that accepts everything, that never says, that's wrong, that's evil. But biblical love is not like that. It's not soft or gooey. It is always practiced alongside the holiness of God. There is never any gap between love and holiness. Love one another as I have loved you." What an incalculable blessing to know that you are loved by your brothers and sisters in Christ. To know that these are people who are looking out for your good, who never tire of doing it. These are people in whose heart you are set, and they are concerned about you. They are praying for you. They are loving you. And it may be in the most simple of ways that it's demonstrated. A phone call. A letter. A visit. A firm handshake and a look straight in the eye and which says, "I am praying for you." It may be a question about members of your family, which demonstrates that they have been thinking about your family and they know what's going on. It may be the gift of a bowl of soup or a pot of stew. I am not making these up. I did not have to sit in my study and wonder what practical examples of Christian love could I possibly give in this sermon next Lord's Day. I am not making them up, because I have experienced every one of them. And many of you have too. To be part of a body of people who love one another is beyond calculation. There is nowhere better to be. Peter says, above all, love one another deeply. Christian love is a new commandment. It is an unmistakable definition. Finally, it is the mark of discipleship. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Through the centuries, men have displayed different symbols to show that they're Christians. Some wear a badge on their lapel. Some wear a chain with a symbol around their neck. Some have a special haircut. Some have a sign of the fish. And they may be genuine, or they may simply be fashionable. But there is one mark, one badge, which is absolutely authentic and indispensable. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. We don't do it perfectly. We don't practice it as we should. But in measure, are we loving? It's the mark of discipleship. And if you've no interest in other Christians, if you've no concern for the people of God, then there are some very serious questions for you. It's the mark of discipleship. The practice of Christian love, Jesus says, will have an impact on the people in the world around us. They cannot fail to see it. They will know you are my disciples. It would be good if people read our literature more, and through reading it learned about the gospel and about the church. We could hand things to people and we'd be sure they'd read it. We spent a lot of time preparing it, getting everything just as clear as we possibly can. It would be really good that they would take this and read it and learn about Christianity and know what it is. But our Lord says there's something they will see. And they will know that you belong to me. Around the year 200, there was a great leader in the church called Tertullian. And he was very observant. He was observant not only of the church, but he was observant of the world. And he had his ear tuned to what people in the world were saying, because many of them were quite opposed, violently opposed to Christianity. But Tertullian could hear them saying something else, and he wrote it down in his works. It has become a very famous saying. In fact, some people think it's out of the Bible. It's so well known. Tertullian said, as he listened to the world of his day, this is what he recorded. People are saying, see how these Christians love one another. They are ready even to die for one another. The world could not fail to see. It was a skeptical world. It was a pagan world. It was a violent, opposed to Christianity, but it could not fail to see that these are people who love one another. And there's only one place in all the world where this love can be seen. Jesus says, it is among my disciples, the true believers in him. Constant, costly, genuine love is not universal. You don't find it everywhere. You don't find it in the world. You only find it among my disciples. And when Christians act in love towards one another, the world cannot fail to see. What a remarkable thing that is, isn't it? Isn't it amazing? We want to commend the gospel. We want people to learn about the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want them to know what he's able to do for sinners. How can we do all this? One indispensable way is when we love one another as he loved us. What a challenge. J.C. Ryle said, Christ's cause on earth would prosper far more than it does if this simple law was more honored. When Christians love one another, men notice. It gets their attention. There are times we disagree with each other. Maybe on doctrine, and maybe it's an important disagreement. But we can always do it in a way that will not violate this command. We meet other Christians whose personality is not like ours, whose temperament isn't at all like ours, and there's difficulty. But that does not negate our acting towards them in love. This command commends the gospel. It's the mark of discipleship. It brings glory to our Savior. My disciples. Why are these people like this? What makes them like this? Why is it that they are different from the world around? Why are they not like 21st century man who has taken up with himself, who has absorbed in his own self-centered ways? Why are they not like that? It's because of what Jesus has done in our hearts and lives. They will know that you are my disciples, and his saving power has made us to be like this. Isn't it a great command? Isn't it marvelous to experience it, to know it, to demonstrate it? Isn't it great? A new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another.